Okay, let's pray. I'm in a different mood today, so I don't know what's going to happen.
Bless him, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we thank you. Thank you, each one of us, thank you for our health, our friends here at church. Leading us, Lord. Talking to us, delivering us. Thank you for all these things. When we look at them individually, they could take our breath away. All the things you do. Jesus, we're going to talk about you this morning. And I ask that every heart be open. Lord, I ask you to speak into our hearts. And Lord, don't let us leave like we came.
Yes, Lord.
Minister to us, Lord. And I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' wonderful name. Use me, Lord. Use me.
Pastor.
This morning...
My mic isn't on.
It's working off and on. It's intermittent.
Can I switch something?
No static in it.
It's intermittent.
Exposed. Let's see if it'll stay working. Yes. All right. You hear me now?
Yes.
What's that? Yeah.
This morning I want to look at one of the prayers of Jesus. And contained within this prayer, Jesus shares with us some beneficial thoughts concerning the church. Thank you, Joy. Last week we talked about the church and appreciated the comments about my message. And I want to blend this one right in with last week's and see where we go, okay? If you'd open your Bibles to John chapter 17, and speaking of that, last week we had some trouble with our sound, our video system, and I want to thank Lee. Lee put a new power supply in that computer, and it's working fine today, so praise the Lord. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
John chapter 17, and you might as well leave your Bible open because that's where we're going. We're not going to run around anywhere else. Amen. All right. Verse number 9. I pray for them. Let me put my finger here. This is NIV and it's small print in my Bible, so I'll use my finger. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one.
Glory to God.
While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. Verse 14. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. Verse 20, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Verse 22, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. Verse 23, in them and you and me, may they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. We're going to stop right there in verse 23. In our text, we see that Jesus spent much time praying for others. We also understand that in his present position with the Father, Jesus is forever interceding for us.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Very often in the Gospels, Jesus directed his thoughts and words toward the needs of others. And in this prayer, he is talking about his church. Amen? What is it that makes a church great? Is it the numbers of people, which is the common thought, or something else? You may be wondering, is Turning Point a great church? Well, not according to the numbers. Amen? I have found in the many books that I have about this subject that there are various definitions of what makes a church great. Amen? But I'm afraid many churches are like the story of Charlie Brown. One day just couldn't get his act together. If you never read the comic strip Peanuts, maybe you should. It can give you a good perspective and a real good education. Amen? I've got a little story to tell you here. One day Charlie Brown just could not handle it anymore. Life just didn't have any purpose or meaning to it. So he went over to Lucy, and anyone who's read Peanuts knows that you have to be pretty desperate to go over to Lucy. He went to Lucy where she was stationed in her psychiatric booth, charging the fee of 10 cents for advice on that day. And he said, "Lucy, you are going to have to help me out. I don't know anything about my life. I don't have any meaning and purpose in it." And he said, "You are just going to have to help me get my act together." Lucy looked at him in her know-it-all sarcastic ways, and she said, "Charlie Brown, life is like a deck chair on a ship. Some people take their deck chair to the back of the ship, they unfold it, and they sit there looking at where they've been." She said, "Other people take their deck chair and they unfold it and they put it on the front of the ship to look and see where they are going." Then Lucy said, "Charlie Brown, life is simple. Where is your deck chair?" She looked at him and noticed desperation, frustration on his face. Charlie Brown scratched his head and answered, "Lucy, I don't know, because I've never been able to get my deck chair set up." You suppose some Christian churches may be defined by that story? Yeah. Absolutely. So let's turn to our text and answer the question, why are we here today? Why have we come together on this Sunday morning? And what it is that makes a great church. Amen?
Amen.
In John 17, Jesus prayed for himself and for us, you and me, us personally. It is in this context that Jesus makes some interesting points as to what we are supposed to be doing and what we are to focus our attention on in order to be a great church. Hallelujah. Now, please understand, this is not a begging the Father prayer. This is a triumphant prayer.
Hallelujah.
Jesus is not begging the Father for us. He is reminding the Father of his commitment to us.
Thank
Amen.
You, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
And if you look at the last verse of John chapter 16, verse 33, you will read these words. "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world."
Amen.
Amen. There's your scripture, Brother Richard. Jesus enters into prayer with an attitude of triumph, knowing who he is in God and understanding how he is involved in God's plan. And that's a very great, wonderful teaching point for everyone. Now, in John 17, there are 9 verses where Jesus makes a request to the Father for the church. And in these verses, Jesus is making special and specific requests for us. Look at verse 20. "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message." There is a confidence or trust that Jesus has placed in you and me that is evident in this verse. A confidence that he is expressing here that no matter what, we will carry out his message to fruition. And later in this chapter, he assures us that the Father will help us. Amen?
Thank you, Lord.
Help us do what?
Yes.
Fulfill Jesus' work
right
through our message. Do you realize that 2,000 years ago, Jesus looked forward and prayed for our church? Folks, that's awesome.
Yes.
Amen? That's
Thank
awesome.
God.
Jesus had prayed for our church all those years ago. And don't forget that at another time in his ministry, Jesus said, "I will build the church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it."
Hallelujah.
Now, there is a twofold purpose found in the prayer of John chapter 17. First, Jesus is reporting to God that he has fulfilled the Father's purpose. He is reporting back to heaven and declaring, "Father, what you have given me to do, I have done."
Yes.
What you've given me to do, I have done. Look at verse 4. "I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do." Let me say it again. "I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do." Then go down to verse 6. "I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me. And they have obeyed your word." And then verse 12, look at that. "While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that scripture would be fulfilled." Go on to verse 14. "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world anymore than I am of the world." Continue to verse 18. "As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world." Verse 22. "I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one." And last, verse 26. "I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them."
Thank you, Lord.
Eight times in this prayer, Jesus reminds the Father, "I have done what you have asked me to do."
Glory.
"I have done what you asked me to do." There's also another purpose in this prayer. Jesus asked that the work he started will be continued through his church. The work that he started will be continued through his church. But I am concerned this morning, not that Jesus reported to the Father that he had accomplished the task that was given. Rather, I am concerned about the fact that Jesus prayed for you and me, asking that the work he had completed would now continue to be accomplished, amen, through an active and zealous church.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory.
Amen. Yes. My concern, have we lost our zeal and passion for the work Jesus left us to do? What do you think, folks? Amen? What do you think? Now, I think you probably think like me. Let's look at five things Jesus asked of the Father for you and me. Five things. And I believe these five things make a great church. Make a great church. First, he prays that you and I, as the church, will sense the glory of God. As he begins to pray, Jesus exclaims, "Father, I want them to sense your glory." Your glory. In verses 1, 4, 5, 6, 7, 10, and 24, seven times the word glory or glorified is repeated. Look at verse 4 and 5. "I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." Within these seven verses, Jesus asked the Father to continue to glorify himself in the church. And then Jesus asked the Father that those in the church will sense and feel and experience and know his glory.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
That we will know his glory.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. The word glory in the Greek comes from the word doxa, from which we have the word doxology. Remember saying the doxology, folks? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Amen? You know now. You know what I'm talking about now. We know that the word glory means the visible manifestation of the power and the radiance of God. The visible manifestation of the power and the radiance of God. Jack Hayford had the glory show up in his church, and it was a cloud on the floor, went up about 18 inches all over the sanctuary, just like a cloud. That glory was evident to him, and after that glory showed up, his church went from one of our size to a gigantic church. I don't know if he knows how many people are there. The glory of God needs to be in the church. It could come lots of different ways, but it needs to be able to be seen. Amen. Amen. If you look for it, it will be seen. All right. Now, within these, where am I? So in essence, Jesus was praying to the Father, requesting that his church might see, manifested in their midst, his splendor, his power, and his radiance. And that for years to come, God's people would continue to feel and sense his presence. Have you ever felt his presence in this place?
Yes.
Or the other building?
Yes.
Absolutely. We find an example of this in the Old Testament story of Solomon as he dedicated the temple. The word says the glory of God came upon him. Amen? In fact, all the people there at the dedication ceremony sensed the manifestation and the presence and the sweetness of God. Mm-hmm. Folks, when you walk into this place, you should be able to sense the presence of God. There's been enough prayer in this place, enough miracles done,
yes,
that we should be able to walk
you,
in
Lord.
Here and
thank
feel the
you,
Holy Spirit,
yes,
and God Almighty all over you.
Amen.
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 Thank you.
Amen. All right. So when Jesus prayed for us, he prayed that we would sense his presence. And what exactly does that mean? It means we will come into this place and experience Jesus. Not a program, not an order of service, not manufactured hype,
yes,
but a true encounter,
yes,
with Almighty God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes. Hallelujah.
If there's anything beautiful about this service today, it's Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. If there's anything uplifting about the worship, it's Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. If there's anything profound about this message, it's Jesus. If there's anything comforting about the prayers, it's Jesus. If there's anything that should fill our hearts today, let it be the hunger the Greeks had when they came to Philip and Andrew and said, we would see Jesus.
Yes. Yes.
We would see Jesus. Every Sunday morning, every time we gather together as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, our desire should be to see Jesus manifest himself in the midst of the believers. And if you come with that desire in your heart, Jesus will meet you right here and address your personal needs, whatever they may be. When he is lifted up, all kinds of wonderful, glorious things begin to happen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Go ahead, give him a hand. Secondly, Jesus prayed that we would not only sense the presence of God, but that we would follow the word of God.
Yes.
Amen? We find this in verse 8, 14, 15, 16, 17, 19, and 20. Now, verse 8, let's go there a minute. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
When the disciples received the word of God, it brought them meaning for life.
That's
meaning
right.
for life.
That's right.
When they understood that Jesus was truly from God, it gave them motivation for life. Amen? And then when they believed that Jesus was sent for the entire world, it gave them a mission for life. You see, when you get into the Word and begin to have a new meaning in your life, and soon the Word will become alive in you, and it becomes so personal that you can claim it and receive the promises for yourself. And once you see the Word touching and changing lives, it gives you and me, the church, a mission in our life. Amen. I wish I had more time just to work on this, but that's enough for now. Look at verse 14. What does the Word do for us? It separates us. I have given them your Word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world anymore, than I am of the world. When you allow the Word of God to penetrate your heart, your life takes on a new direction. You embrace a different value system.
Yes, amen.
And you eventually separate yourself from the world.
Hallelujah.
The world, the Word will separate you from the world. Amen?
Yes, amen.
Amen. In verse 15, the Word of God strengthens us. Look at it. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one.
Hallelujah.
That is why the psalmist would say, Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Amen.
Yes.
Then look at verse 17 and 19. Tell us that the word of God sanctifies us.
Right.
This is verse 17. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. In verse 19. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. And then in verse 20, the Word of God saves us. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. It is the Word of God that strengthens us. It is the Word of God that saves us. It is the Word of God that satisfies us. It's the Word of God that establishes us.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Brothers and sisters, we need to be removed from a generation that has no righteous priorities, no moral compass, and no guidelines for living. Amen.
Amen.
We need to step away from the world and establish ourselves in the Word of God. The third way Jesus prayed for the church is that we would become united through the love of God. You can find that in verse 11, 12, 21, 22, and 23. Let me read verse 21 to you. That all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. This is one reason we need to be united, so that the world may believe. Amen? This goes along, folks, with last week's message, the fellowship of the believers. We should be united.
Amen.
Verse 23, I and them, and you and me, may they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Jesus' prayer was answered at Pentecost as the disciples became united in love through power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. The church became unified. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let me give you a statement about being united in love. Spirit-filled Christians, united in love, guided by a purpose they truly believe in, can do anything.
Yes.
They can do anything. I hope you really believe that.
Could you repeat that, please?
Spirit-filled Christians, united in love, guided by a purpose they truly believe in, can do anything. What may be wrong with many churches today is that too many people want to beat the big drum, and too few people want to face the music, and nobody wants to play second fiddle. But when the body becomes united in love, then God begins to do mighty things.
Thank you, Father.
The fourth thing Jesus prayed for was that the church would begin to minister the mission of the Father. You can find that in five verses, 2, 3, 15, 17, and 18. What is the Father's mission? Verse 18, let's go there. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. The word sanctified means not only to consecrate, but it means to equip. Jesus was saying, as you send me into the world to seek and save those who are lost, I also send these into the world for the same purpose which I have fulfilled for them with my death on the cross. The Father's mission, to seek and save those who are lost. Finally, Jesus prayed that we would experience the joy of God. The joy of God. Verse 13, I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. Let me ask you a question this morning. What gives the church the joy of God? I believe the answer has already been given. When we sense the presence of God, when we follow the Word of God, when we are united through the love of God, and when we go forth in the mission of God, then as a body of believers, we begin to experience the joy of God.
Amen.
And brothers and sisters, that's a great church.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
That's a great church.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
It's exactly what Jesus is praying for. Now, I want you to bow your heads a moment. Jesus prayed for some things. He prayed that Turning Point Church would experience the presence of God. He prayed that we would follow His Word and be united in the love of God. And that the people of Turning Point would go forth in the mission of God. All of that so we could experience the joy of God. Jesus prayed for the church universal, but understand that Jesus' bride is made up of individual believers like you and me, so I need to ask some personal questions this morning. Every eye closed, every head bowed, please. And please, this is just between you and your pastor. How many would say, Pastor, I know that Jesus prayed for, and I see it in new light this morning, and what I desperately want is to experience the glory, the presence of God in my life? You just raise your hand. Amen. Perhaps you have not experienced it as you did in days past, or perhaps you never have experienced it. Again, how many would say this morning, I want to experience the presence and the glory of God in my life today? Would you slip up your hand so I can pray for you, folks? Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. How many would raise your hands and say, "Pastor, I want to become a student of the Word. I have not been living the Word. I have not been having daily devotions and feasting on the Word. But I know now that Jesus prayed that I would commit to this. So I'm slipping up my hand to declare today I'm going to begin to be a student of the Word." Amen. Amen. How many would slip up your hand and say, "I want to be united with others in the love of God. I don't want to be part of any jealousy, fighting, or strife among brothers and sisters, which would result in a hindrance to God's work." Amen. Amen. And how many would raise your hand and say, "I have not gone forth with the purpose of the church, but I want to go where Jesus sends me, and I want to share the good news with others. Pastor, pray for me." Amen. Before we stand to close, how many would just raise your hand and say, "Pastor, I've lost the joy of God in my life." The inward joy that springs forth from a peace and confidence in my relationship with the Father. I've lost the joy of my salvation. Just raise your hand. All right, let's stand together. Karen's going to come and we're going to sing just a chorus to a song. And then I want to pray for you. And most of these things I asked about, most everybody in this place raised their hand. So I'm just going to pray for all of us. Let's sing this chorus first, amen?
There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I've been searching for all eternity long, and there is none like you. Search for all eternity long and wide. There is none like you.
I want to do it again. Come on, get this in again.
There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I can search for all eternity long.
Just no other way to describe him, but he was a giant. He was tall, probably tall as Lee, and big. And I prayed for him. And this this song he could have written, because his heart exploded with God's presence.
Hallelujah.
And it's really something, something to bolster your faith when a man like that, that could beat his way out of anything that came his way, has a broken heart, and sincere, truly sincere of what he is allowing to come into his life. Wow. Wow. Let's pray, folks. Amen. Lord, for the last 2 weeks, this week and last week, you've been teaching us about the church. Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you for the reminders. I thank you for the new thoughts that have been given. And Lord, I thank you that we have a heart that will just fall into submission to you. Lord, one of the things I hate about our humanness is that some of the most exciting, wonderful things that have been in our life just seem to grow dull. And we don't want them to, but that's our human nature, that these things get old and comfortable, and we don't give ourselves to them like we did. Lord, I ask you to renew us. I ask you to take this heart of ours and turn them back to the way we were when we were on our knees praying to the Lord, asking him for the first time to fill us, to change us, to minister to us, to open us up to your Spirit. Lord, when we were so sincere that we wanted to change so desperately, our lives were not what they were supposed to be. We were carnal in our thoughts. Lord, turn us around. Make it different. Make us brand new spiritually again. That's Jesus' prayer. And it's his prayer for every one of us, Lord, in these five different dimensions. Don't let our life go on like it's been. Bring us back to the new again, Lord. Bring us back to the new once more, Lord. We want to see you, Jesus. We want to see your glory. We sense your glory. We feel your glory. But Lord, I've prayed this for a long time. Lord, let me see your glory. I don't think anything would change us if we could visually see your glory. Lord, teach us your word. Not just repetition, but Lord God, teach us your word. Thank you, Jesus. Remind us of your mission, Lord. Remind us of your mission that you want us to continue. You want us to be your hands and your mouth and your feet and continue what you started, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, let these prayer requests that Jesus made for us give us the joy of the Lord. Wherever we are, if we're in a good place, great. If we've fallen away some, revive us, Lord. Help us to be everything that you want your people to be. Thank you, Lord, that we belong to a great church. And thank you, Lord, that there are some people here that pray for us. There's people here that would do anything for us. Anything that they can. That's a great church. Oh, Jesus. Thank you for this word. Thank you for John chapter 17. Let's sing this again.
If you can stand it.